Thank you for tuning in and for your patience here on the Padre Island Podcast. We're ready for the 13th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And the passage today is Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 42. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We might get out of the way the last part of the gospel, just in case we forget something very simple but profound, and that is how valuable a simple act of charity is, to give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones. Now, we are to love all people, especially those of the household of the faith, and so that child being a disciple, showing them an act of service, is something to strengthen their dignity, and it sets a positive example that they benefit from what we're providing, and that means that they come to know God's love through that simple action. Hopefully we do more than just that, but that's something. That's along the lines towards the objective, towards the mission. And therefore, when that child gets older, they're going to be able to pass that along, continue in that tradition of goodness, of generosity, of love to others. So what is Jesus saying here in the gospel? He's talking about loving God more than anyone else, even more than members of our family. Now, there's other passages that are similar that say, "Whoever does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, and his own life cannot be my disciple." And that always is a head scratcher of why Jesus would use that kind of language. And then someone explains, well, hate means it's hyperbole, meaning to love less in that context. But we don't really need to explain that in that way here, because this passage doesn't have as strong of language. It is a little bit more easy to grasp, even in our first reading of it. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So we want to be worthy of the Lord. We want to love him with all of our hearts, even more than we love a son or daughter, or a mother or a father. And through the love of God, that opens things up to love others. These things are not mutually exclusive. But I suppose if any priorities get in the way of God, even something that appears to be really good and noble, well, that can be problematic. It's much more important to allow this gospel to offer the wisdom that we need to place God first. Whoever does not take up his own cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. What does that mean? Well, he's talking about a life of sacrifice, a life dedicated to higher ideals, to higher standards. Take up his cross. Well, Jesus literally takes up his cross on the way to Calvary to suffer and die for us. And maybe someone's cross in this life might be a certain physical suffering, some kind of disability or limitation or illness. It could be trying to navigate some really difficult relationships or jobs or tasks. And sometimes we need to step back and try to make a good decision about how to proceed. But other times it just means we need to show up and do our work, to take up our cross, get the job done, to be responsible, disciplined people. And that goes a long way there. It's not saying to ignore if there's some kind of problem to fix it, but it's saying sometimes it's just a matter of showing up and doing the best we can and seeing it as the royal road to sanctification, for the love of God to be in us more fully, to animate everything we do, to lead us closer to communion with God. And then the second paragraph of this passage talks about rewards, whether it be a righteous man or a prophet or someone who gives a cup of cold water, that the Lord Jesus increases our desire to be able to do what's right when he talks about rewards. That's a nice little perk when it comes to being a disciple. At the same time, I just can't help but remember the passage of the servant who at the end of the day finishes what he needs to do and says, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've done no more than my duty. And there's something about that that needs to be held up as something to think about and something to be able to integrate in our life. But I would venture to say that most of us may not be as inspired by that on a day-to-day basis, because we're kind of made for there to be some kind of payout on the other side. I know that might sound selfish, but hey, you know, I mean, who doesn't want a little bit of results sometimes? And I guess we don't have to be addicted to that. Sometimes we deal with the poverty of that not being there, or we need to wait. But at the same time, it sure is nice when that feedback loop is intact and when it's tangible. The more tangible, the better. And when the reward or some kind of result is something that's really enjoyable and meaningful to us. It might not be meaningful to other people. You know, somebody trying to spend 8 minutes to make a cup of coffee, you know, going through all these steps to get that done. The only reason they would bother is because the taste of the coffee on the other side is worth the effort. Now, for somebody like me, I just say that's worthless. It's not interesting. But then again, maybe things that I like to do, plan out certain trips and different routes to take, kind of a numbers person, that might be just totally boring and irrelevant for others. So these things can look differently. How does it relate to the spiritual life is that there's certain things that all of us enjoy and all of us are able to be inspired by. And then there's things that are very much catered to a certain person and where they're at in their life and what's meaningful to them. Let's see. So the context here is Jesus is talking to the 12 apostles. 2 weeks ago, we heard their names, and then he gives them various instructions about being on mission. And last week, it had to do with being worth more than many sparrows, and don't be afraid of anyone, except maybe the one who can kill both body and soul in Gehenna. But the Lord protects us, not just protects us, but he nourishes us. A nourishment that really feeds us and really matters and is really satisfying. We think about the ways that God has provided for us, like a cup of cold water on a hot day, or just an act of love or mercy from someone that really touched our hearts, that helped us recognize the presence of God in that moment. We savor that, and we thank God for that. And that strengthens our faith, even when things are dwindling. Even we are very much in our emotions, or very much being ambushed, or very much discouraged, or in touch with our brokenness, that we try to carry our cross, to follow the Lord Jesus, to see what that means, what that looks like, and how the Lord is going to sustain us on the way. You know, here's a question I've pondered, and maybe you have some insight on this, is that those who lose their life for the sake of Jesus will find it, and vice versa is true. Namely, if we find our life, we will lose it. What does that mean? You know, and how do you reconcile that with authentic self-care? Because let's say someone finds ways to get enough to eat, enough to sleep, enough hours of sleep. You know, they generally take care of themselves. Are they finding their life or are they losing it? Well, it seems like they're finding their life. They're doing their part to be present and doing what it takes to make sure that they're taken care of. Is that a bad thing? I don't think so. It doesn't seem like it. Maybe one way to look at it would be to say, think about those who enter a monastery or a convent or even a marriage, and they're completely dedicated to their work and their vocation. And it's just completely dialed in, even through suffering. There's something really beautiful about that offering to God, that daily offering within that vocation. And in so doing, in some ways, they're losing their life in that vocation. But then they discover that by love of others and following God's call, that ends up how they find who they are. And they discover what life is all about in the context of making an authentic gift of self. So that's a good way to look at it. And I hold that up for us to ponder. On the other side of the coin, somebody who is just completely into self-care and goes overboard on it, just doesn't tolerate any unhappiness in their life, and really thinks about themselves only, if that gets overboard, yeah, they might find themselves, but then next thing they know it, they've lost religion, they've lost their way, they've lost their faith. And again, maybe those things go together in someone's real life experience, but you know, sometimes when you look at extremes, it can help prove the point of what Jesus is saying, and therefore can create space for us to ponder where we are. In what way are you finding your life right now? And is that along the path of holiness? Is that the narrow way? And that might not be an easy answer. Or in what way are you losing your life? And what's that like? Is that leading down a dead end? Or through that sacrifice, are you setting yourself up for a resurrection? Not that you'll do it yourself, but you're trusting that God will do that and do so in marvelous ways. Those who have been divorced, maybe you've lost your life through that experience. Maybe nothing tastes good anymore, and you don't know where to go, and you're just trying not to be too depressed from day to day. Well, please don't stop going to church. Don't stop listening to certain podcasts and Catholic radio. You know, these things can help us stay focused and can be life-changing, life-saving, because you know what it's like to experience heartbreak, brokenness, and the love that you show to another person, that means so much. And may what you've been through lead to finding your life, finding your way. Not in a way that sets us up to lose it all, but sets ourselves up for a resurrection. To be able to rally, to find a new chapter, to find newness of life, the renewal that we are made for. I'm not sure exactly about the prophet's reward versus the righteous man's reward. I'd have to read more about that, of why Jesus feels the need to say it in those terms. But again, the word reward can be something that we might latch onto, because even kids understand the value of an incentive, some kind of reward. that if something's truly satisfying, then there's a better chance that we'll repeat it. But if we have a bad experience with something, we're probably not going to do that again. We're a little more hesitant and resistant to that. At the same time, that's all in God's hands. And you and I are called to love one another, to do simple acts of service, and to love God more than anyone else. And if we get caught up in certain activities or even certain people, sometimes we need to redraw how we are investing and reconsider what that means and where to go from here. And in so doing, we are cooperating with the Lord's inspiration, cooperating with Him when it comes to cultivating the holiness that we need to truly live out this gospel passage, that in carrying our cross, in the sacrifices that show up every day, and maybe certain seasons are very intense, in the midst of that, we might wonder, am I just losing my life right now? But with God leading us, we will be just surprised to an infinite level of what God is doing, that we might find our life and our true purpose and so many of those deep questions that we've been wrestling with will begin to find a place to begin to make those connections. And it'll be at those times that we praise the Lord and thank Him, doing so with full voice, doing so like never before. In the meantime, we walk by faith and we look for an opportunity to love another person today, to open our hearts, to be vulnerable, to allow someone to care for us, to be able to be God's instrument in a critical moment. I'm Father Peter O'Donnell, a priest in Abilene Junction City in Chapman, Kansas. Thank you for listening today. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.